This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Are you there, Sam?
Yep, hang on, I'm just turning that on.
Is our guest ready?
Yep, I've got the music ready.
Can you hear me okay?
Yep, sounds great.
Cool. Otago Access Radio, in partnership with Otago Polytechnic, brings you Blowing Bubbles.
Blowing Bubbles brings you positive conversations with people in their bubbles around the world.
We're curious about how people are finding new ways of life, being and problem solving. Every Wednesday, the Sustainable Lens team of Samuel Mann and Mawira Karatai reach out from our bubbles to chat with interesting and positive people around the world.
Broadcast on Otago Access Radio, 105.4 FM in Dunedin, and streamed and podcast on oar.org.nz.
Bringing joy, connection, kindness and peace in all the days ahead.
Welcome to Blowing Bubbles, positive conversations with people in their bubbles, their safe spaces around the world. I'm Samuel Mann in Otipoti, Dunedin, and I am joined by Mawira Karatai in Whakatane. Kia ora, Mawira.
Kia ora, Sam. How's it going?
It's going very well indeed. Is it your birthday today?
It's still my birthday, yes. Oh, we're recording... We're recording these on my birthday. Yes, it's still my birthday. It's like a birthday that never ends.
We're going to drag this birthday out for days, weeks. And who are we introducing today? Let's go.
It is my great pleasure to introduce Adrian DeWantle from our Master of Sustainable Business Program at the University of Otago. Welcome, Adrian. It is wonderful to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
Welcome, Adrian. Where did you grow up, Adrian?
I was born and raised in Indonesia, from Jakarta. So I moved to New Zealand a few months ago in February 2025 for study.
Jakarta's a big place.
Yeah, it is. And kind of surprised me, not really surprised me that, but, you know, moving from big city to Dunedin, kind of like, shock a bit with like less amount of people here, so yeah, but it was real fun because I gotta be able to like be in a quiet space.
So what was
bit
it
of
like
escape, I would say.
What was it like growing up in Jakarta?
I think one thing that I could share is that well, I gotta think about that. Probably we got a lot of great foods. That's one thing because Jakarta, I would say, is a like melting pot for Indonesians, like a lot of places in Indonesia. So we got a lot of cuisines across like Indonesia that was brought to the city. And then I can get pretty much access those different kind of cuisines like everywhere. Like easily, that's probably one thing that I'm really happy about, like living in the city Jakarta.
And what did you want to be when you grew up?
Oh yeah, so that's the probably the reason that I chose this program and moved to New Zealand. Because I'm a bit concerned about sustainability in general, and back then I was. Not merely, but mostly from my work experience, it's all about like chasing profit, right? And like growing, scaling the business. And yeah, that's fun, I would say. But at some point back then, I thought that, especially when I was doing some hiking back home, I've seen a lot of like pollutions and everything. And so I think I should do something, so not only for profit, and move to New Zealand, study sustainable business, and hopefully I can, you know, do something within helping environment, but still within business. So that's, like the general goal, I think.
What was your undergrad degree in?
It was bachelor in economics.
Was there much environment and sustainability in that?
Not much, I would say, but we do learn about like ethics, governance, and but not really, you know, digging deep into that sustainability thing. It was also one thing, like I finished my undergrad like 8 years ago, right? It was like, yeah, 8 years ago. And sustainability is not really like as, not saying that it's not as important as right now, but it's rarely, like rarely being discussed back then.
Let's go with your first of your, I was going to say song, music choices. The theme here, let's go with Super Mario Brothers theme. Why this one?
Kind of like the vibe of it, because it reminds me of, you know, like a bit nostalgic, and it got like the vibe, like upbeats, and also like a lot of people actually know about it. But to be honest, yeah, hopefully everyone knows about it, because new generation might not know, might not, you know, play this game, but I did back then. And I've seen the list of the songs that were chosen by other students. Couldn't see so like anyone really choosing like random funny songs like this. So I gotta do this. Say to myself, I have to do this.
Thank you.
Everybody has got somebody in their life who has been their big inspiration and who has given them the encouragement to be where they are. Who was that for you as you were growing up?
I think one person, also this one guy is the one that inspired me to study again. Can I say his name or just?
Yes.
He's Rod Sen. He was my previous manager back home. So I was working with him for good, I think it was 3 until 4 years for 2-3 different companies. He was a great, very great leader for me, gave me a lot of opportunities and everything, and teach me a lot of things about leaderships and, you know, all those things, and kind of inspire me to, you know, move forward with my career. And Rod Sen has been, I think, one person that helped me grow to this point.
What would you, if you were going to pick the most important part of the way he practices in his professional practice space, what do you think is the most valuable quality that you will then try and put into your own professional practice space?
Right. So one thing for sure, he lets me fail so many times. One thing I know that he knows, this thing is going to fail, but he let me to, you know, face my own failures. And then after, did such failures, not a big one, I would say, because, I mean, if it is like jeopardizing the company, for sure, he's not going to do it right. But like small failures and everything, he knows that it's not going to go into like the right direction. And after that, he kind of teach me, okay, this is the things that you should be doing instead of this. And like, like the reason why you fail and everything, right? And everything, he kind of explain. And being given those kind of, you know, opportunities to fail is real, very, very, like, important for me to, like, learn a lot of things in my career. I'd say not many people are given this kind of, you know, approach, I would say.
I think that you're right. I think we have moved away from letting people fail. We're so busy trying to stop people failing. And I see that's actually a really interesting perspective. I haven't thought about that. So is that who you will be as a leader as you move into your own leadership spaces?
Yes, for sure, 100%. So I actually already apply it as well. So back then I had 6 subordinates. My teams, and I tried to like copy his style, his approach of like letting my team fails, and that kind of works actually. And I think that's one, you know, like failures is such a great way to learn things in your life, including in your career.
Wow, that is I like that approach. I think that is actually really positive. When you decided to move on, so he encouraged you to move back into education. So what made you choose Aotearoa, and what made you choose, of all places, Dunedin?
Well, I did some consultation with him. He was an MBA graduate, right? So I was about to choose that path, but sustainability in New Zealand is pretty much my personal choice because... I think this is because myself, personally, it's because I love nature, I love hiking and scuba diving. And if I had to, you know, like do something and like start studying again, I wanted to study in a spaces that I like, which is around nature and environment. So that's why sustainability. So, but the way that he helped me, you know, with this decision is, he asked me so he suggested me to take MBA because he said that once you, you know, take MBA, you might be able to be, you know, be more flexible about choosing your own area of interest. But for me personally, if I took that path, I might not commit. So yeah. that's my personal, you know, so yeah, for me, so I gotta use the, choose sustainability and be, you know, commit to it.
So with sustainability, what is it about sustainability that matters to you? Because it's such a broad term, isn't it? So where is your real interest in it?
Before coming here, I actually already did some research around climate tech, because my background is from tech companies, and I've seen I see that a lot of new technologies and like solutions within climate tech, they are actually quite rapidly growing, right? So I see this as an opportunity for me. So I do have the tech background around business and strategy, and I wanted to be specific about what kind of path, which is the one that's still aligned with my previous background within tech, but it is more of a like climate tech. So that's the area that I'm trying to pursue. Green growth.
Oh, that is interesting. So green growth and not degrowth.
No. Sorry, Mawera.
Oh, that's right. We'll get you to change. You'll join the degrowth team. Do you see green growth in your home country? Green growth rather in your home country. Do you see a movement towards that now?
Yes, definitely in my country and in Southeast Asia in general. I've seen the way I see it is that because the economic development is still pretty much needed. We are still chasing GDP, not because of the numbers itself, but we are still trying to, give our, the people within the country better, better economic and everything. But how do we, approach that more wisely, more cautiously? So I think climate tech would be one of the solution within startups and tech spaces, the technology spaces in Southeast Asia, because one example that I could give that I talk with one of the guy working in a company there is focuses on like monitoring the air quality, and they've got this such a very advanced technology, right? Like the device and everything, they can like track the emissions and everything using the small device and like everything. So the way that those devices work is that they kind of provide the data. So like a lot of stakeholders within, could be the government, could be the companies and everything, they could just use their devices and track their emissions and everything. Not only emissions, there's like a lot of data point that could be used. And another thing that I also see, that the climate risk, not only the environmental risk part, but also like the carbon pricing and everything, they will definitely be implemented in the countries that have not implemented it yet, right? So the way that this kind of technology works would be like helping a lot of stakeholders involved to be able to mitigate their carbon credit risk, for instance, and how can they like move their business operations towards more like aligning with these new climate regulations, so they can survive their business operations.
Bubble sprite of the wild coasts, secluded inlets, and forest and beaches of Otago Peninsula, Dunedin's favourite goddess, Tahu Mackenzie.
Kia ora koutou, ngā mihi aroha nui ki a koutou ki Tahua Hau. I hope you're all having the best day, beautiful superstars in your beloved universes, and I really hope wherever you are, whatever's happening around you, this journey that we're all on together is proving to be very rewarding, very sustaining, and illuminating for you more and more each day. Who you are, a triumph of nature's art. Perfect. Unique. And here, making things better. Thank you.
I speak to you all now from the kitchen, the beautiful old Queen Street Hospital building in Aotearoa, Dunedin, and I'm actually staying here at the moment while I'm building my dream house down the bay, down Otago, and I'm very fortunate to get my inheritance early, you see, because I've shifted out to help Hoihoa, the yellow-eyed penguin, and my dad very kindly said, well, why don't you have your inheritance early? And, you know, I said, okay. And it's all on, so very exciting. And, yes, I'm just making some breakfast for my dear beloveds who are here and talking to you at the same time. So I do apologise for all the clattering sounds. And then I'm off to meet with my big boss in Mosgiel, this beautiful house. So it's all on today. And of course, you know, over the last several years, we have had to navigate a lot of shifts and changes, and we have had to, you know, see through a global pandemic and goodness me, all sorts of other things. And I think we've all done very well. And of course, for me, being part of this show is an affirmation of that, and an affirmation indeed of our collective capacity to see things through and understand things collectively, and, you know, work through things collectively, and really embody the poo kiko for me. And my big American boss, who's, you know, from Portland and has worked all over the world with young people, empowering young people with their creativity, loves the poo kiko, so that's very convenient, because it's a wonderful mummo to acknowledge and appreciate, because of course the poo kiko is really very like us, the best qualities of us, really very focused on the family, very helpful to each other. You know, I know that Sam, when Sam and his beautiful lady had one of my bird feeders set up, the poo kiko would come and drink from it, and oh goodness me, certainly wasn't designed for poo kiko. And obviously they're the cousins of the tucker here, but they're just such good survivors because they're so communal like us, and they really, really prioritise their babies. So they'll lay their babies in a big heap like we do and raise them together like we do, and that means that they survived. Whereas the tucker here, who are actually my favourite, the tucker here, and that's partly because a little boy, you know, decided he was going to find them when he was 8 years old and set out to find them and did. And, you know, I really love that story. And I also just love how primeval and chunky and mildly sort of frightening they are. That appeals to me as well. But the poo kiko, of course, are not only found here, they're also found in Australia. And now that I'm working with the hoihoa, of course, it's all actually about the hoihoa, we see another parallel with the yellow-eyed penguin and the little blue penguin, where, you know, the little blue penguin, similar to your poo kiko, very communal, all looking after each other, everything like that, have survived very well. Hoihoa, very like your tucker here, very territorial, and, you know, get their name because they shout at each other, which I completely understand. But again, haven't survived very well. So really interesting sort of population dynamic stuff, and just a lovely window into our world too. So I really hope today, whether you're embodying the poo kiko or the tucker here, having a bit more time for yourself, do what you need, do what you feel is right for you. I'm going to have a bit of a mixture today too, between poo kiko and tucker here, or indeed kororā, little blue penguin, and hoihoa, yellow-eyed penguin, because I've got some meetings, but I've also got some opportunities for downtime and self love reflection, you know, which will be quite nice. So yes, I hope your day goes really well. I'm thinking of you all. Thanks again for having me, and I'll talk to you again soon. Thanks so much. Kakiki.
Thank you, Tahu. You're listening to Blowing Bubbles. We're talking with Adrian De Wanto.
Adrian, your podcast is up next. Who did you interview and why did you choose them?
I interviewed Liam Harrison. He's the founder of Pedals Couriers. So first time we met, it's actually me being the audience of his guest lecture for the Business for Good at the business school. And then after that, we also met again at Startup Dunedin. So we had a bit of a chat and like discuss around like tech and sustainability and like just do some sharing and everything. So kind of get that connection quite well, I would say. Get along quite well during the first meeting. Because we do share same interests, right, within the startup and climate sustainability. So
great, let's listen to your podcast now.
Let's go.
Kia koto and welcome to this episode of podcast. And today I'm with Liam Harrison, founders of Pedals Couriers. And we'll be talking about innovation, sustainability, and what it takes to, you know, build business on two wheels. So, Liam, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So, just a bit of story. So, I met Liam in one of the workshops at the University of Otago, and had a chance to learn a lot of stories from Liam about the business. And right now, I'm fortunate enough to be able to invite you here in our podcast. So, how are you doing today, Leo?
I'm doing very well, thank you, Adrian. I've just enjoyed a beautiful stunner today, sunshine, and it's been gorgeous. It's very spring vibes at the moment.
And also, to give a context for our audience here, can you tell me what you do and the business you are running?
Absolutely. So, I run a business called Pedals Couriers. We are a same-day and urgent courier company. We use e-cargo bikes to get around the traffic, and we don't need parking, so we can be nice and fast, and we can be reliable, and we can be sustainable in supporting businesses. We focus on being really supportive and easy to use for local businesses. So try and, reduce friction for them and make things as smooth as possible for getting their products to their customers.
So before starting the business itself, like, what do you do? And like, what experiences shape your decision to go down this path?
So I grew up in Dunedin and studied at Otago, did a commerce degree. And I was working in a tech startup that was working in the health and social services space, providing some record keeping tools for health and social service providers. I'd been doing that for about 5 years before starting Pedals. And I guess my main role there was mostly sales and customer service and sort of that relationship side of the business.
What inspired you to combine cycling with entrepreneurships? Like, was there any particular moment that sparked this idea?
Definitely. There are a number of factors that have led to that decision. One key thing that won't surprise many people is that I'm a fan of riding bikes. I enjoy riding bikes. Learned to ride a bike when I was 5 years old. And when I started Pedals, I had moved back to Dunedin from living away for a while, and saw the opportunity. At the time, the main street had been closed down and was being renovated, improved. And while that was happening, the centre of the city was really heavily disrupted with those road closures and roadworks, and all those things I was talking about, sort of lack of parking, confusing layouts of streets and things, especially in the central shopping area. So I saw an opportunity there where bikes could get around all of that without any issue, and we could provide a really quick, snappy service for businesses in that area and businesses throughout the city that might be wanting to send stuff into there and that were just having real difficulties using a van or a car. So
yeah, true. I've seen like a lot of development here, like road closures and stuff.
Yes.
That's not affecting your business, though. That's even, like, probably gives you more business.
Arguably, it is actually, it's good for us, that disruption, because it slows down our competition and frustrates them. And while we can sort of, we can respond much more effectively to that sort of, those changes.
And how did you get to where you are today as a startup founder and with the business that you have right now?
I think on this day, we are coming up to almost at 3 years since we launched Pedals. And I have to very much first off say we wouldn't be where we are without the customers, without the local businesses who, I guess, believed in us or tried us out, and the ones that just keep giving us work. But also the team that I have. I couldn't do it on my own, and I've got an awesome team of riders who are out there every day, 5 a.m, and they're, you know, whatever the weather, and they do an amazing job. And then I guess personally, for me, and this probably is true for a lot of people, but a lot of it comes down to perseverance and tenacity with just whether it's sales and just persevering and keeping on trying. Or perseverance in other areas where you just sort of have to see through some of the things that come your way.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, true. It's like having people to support your business, not only the customers for sure, but also the community, your employee, and all those people elements that definitely impact a lot of business in a good way, I would say. So
absolutely,
circling back, when you started the business, so as a startup founder, what were the trial and errors looks like, and how did you overcome it? This might be a lot of interesting things probably happen in most of startups when they starting their business, right? And what's your looks like?
Yeah, I think it's true. You have to, you can go in with your preconceived idea of what this is going to look like and how it's going to operate. But until you're actually running and actually dealing with the day-to-day challenges, you don't really know. So some interesting things that I found, I guess I hadn't worked in the logistics industry before. And a crucial thing that I've learned is obviously courier companies are very much at the sway of the wider economy. So, if the businesses that use us are quiet, then we're going to be quiet. So we also don't have a huge amount of leverage or weight in driving the demand for our service. You know, it's about making sure that those customers are busy so that we then see that work. And obviously keeping an appealing and making sure that those relationships are really, really strong.
One question that's quite interesting here. Are there things you deliberately avoid transporting for your business? And what's usual, before we go into that.
That's good. That's a great question.
Things that people usually transport and what's the things that you try to avoid?
There's a funny thing. We eventually had to turn down a customer because it was getting a bit ridiculous. And they made, this is a bit of a silly one, but they made fancy cupcakes. They're a baker, and they made fancy cupcakes, and people would order them online, and they'd want them delivered across town. But the problem with these, they've got this elaborate icing and toppings on top of the cupcakes, and when you're transporting them on the bike, things generally they bounce up a tiny bit, But this, as soon as these bounce, because they were so top heavy, they were just flip. And so like we tried to run those deliveries for them, and it just was just too stressful for anybody. And like you're very, very difficult to deliver, and wasn't really, yeah, we ended up having to sort of suggest other options for that customer. That's kind of like a funny one where we just struggled with the actual physical carrying of them. But more often, if I'm saying no to specific deliveries, it's due to the risk for the riders on the road.
Yeah. So, yeah, we'll be moving to sustainability and innovation set of questions.
Okay.
What role does pedal couriers play in reducing transport emission in Dunedin, do you think? And like, do you have any stories that show, you know, that sort of impact?
So it should be obvious that we are a carbon neutral service. While they are electric bikes and they're made of steel, the emissions related to the production of our bikes is so incredibly negligible compared to the lifetime emissions of a comparable service, which would be using a car or a van. So the service obviously reduces emissions because you arguably replacing a van with a bike. Another key thing that we are actually able to do is help reduce physical waste, because we're not, or plastic waste, because we are not requiring customers to put things into those plastic track bags. Courier companies often use these plastic track bags, which are soft plastic, so they're unlikely to be recycled at the end of their life cycle. And they're, yeah, it's just plastic. So we are able to, the way in which we work, the customers don't need to use those sorts of things. They can, they're encouraged to use paper packaging where possible, or cardboard if necessary, and also reusing stuff. So we have a retail customer who sends stuff between stores, and they're able to just reuse the same bags every time. So things like that we try to. And another thing that I'd probably mention is that, so we're big believers in the importance of cycling and active transport generally for moving the population around in urban spaces. And I think beyond the environmental sustainability, the emissions and the plastic waste, there's also some other huge sort of societal sustainability stuff. So the health benefits that a city can see if more people were riding bikes or walking to get about places. So yeah, there's those other aspects that we're really driving towards as well.
So it's like beyond sustainability only, like as an environment, but also like societal thing, and like, you know, like having this kind of like trolley movement, I would say, but like, you know, how, like, what do you think of, like, how supportive Anning City for like eco-friendly or sustainable, like pedal scooters, do you think?
I think that we've been very lucky with the people of Dunedin, the customers that we deal with, and the general public are really supportive of what we're doing. Many people can see the benefits of what we're providing in terms of obviously the service that we're providing to businesses, but also people can see that we're taking up a lot less space on the road, but still providing a really quality service. Council has been an interesting one. I think that the city council has some good intentions, but I believe they at times have their hands tied in terms of the financial ability to provide a better future for the city. That could be infrastructure, but it's also a lot of that can be around campaigning for just simply safer streets. It doesn't have to be a huge infrastructure project. Yep. We can do things without spending so much money. But yeah, getting the appetite from those changes can sometimes be challenging.
Yeah. So if you were the policymaker, what kind of like regulation or like infrastructure that you would put in place or change to make Dunedin more sustainable, or you know, like to support your business or any kind of sustainable business in the city?
The things that I would That's a great hypothetical. And the interesting thing about Dunedin topographically is that we have actually got a really dense population on a really compact flat area of land from, you know, this sort of corner all the way through South Dunedin, St. Clair, up to Musselburgh, and all the way through to North Dunedin and North East Valley. It's all very bikeable and it's not a very big distance. And there is not a lot of infrastructure at this point that connects amenities and populations of residents.
Yeah.
So I would suggest that without necessarily having to build big infrastructure projects, I think there are a lot of opportunities throughout the city where we can better connect people and ultimately give people authentic choices of how they move about. Because at the moment, you know, riding a bike, many people don't perceive it to be very safe. And I think that's not unreasonable. I think people should feel safe when they're using the road. And I think they should have a choice to use other modes of transport beyond a car, beyond a private vehicle.
Yeah.
We're pretty lucky. The bus service here is really good. I just think that there are a whole bunch of people, a huge amount of people, especially in those North Dunedin, South Dunedin flat suburbs, that could be riding a bike to and about places.
Yeah.
But are not really very well supported in that way.
It's quite a different, like, across places here, I would say.
Mm.
Like running a purpose-driven business is not always easy, right? And how do you like balance environmental goals with profitability?
Keeping in mind what, I guess, we have to keep the business running. By being in business, we're able to provide an environmental benefit.
Yes.
So by focusing and keeping the business running and profitable, then we're able to, you know, incidentally provide those environmental benefits. But we do want to be doing more in terms of that stuff. And there is that balance of trying to find, like, okay, how much should we actually be committing to reducing waste or promoting cycling and active transport? Is that actually our job? Or is that the job of council or advocacy groups? So that's always a fun thing. But basically, we just try to support anything that's going on in the city that is around supporting more people onto riding bikes. Making sure that we keep the wheels spinning as well as, obviously.
Keep the wheels spinning and the money in. What do you think of, like, simple thing people can do here in Dunedin to live more sustainably?
I definitely think that if people were to ditch the car or drive less, that's going to have a huge impact on their personal health and well-being, and at the same time reduce emissions and reduce, like, our dependence on fossil fuels.
Yeah, true.
So I think it has to be what I'm focused on at the moment.
What would any, like, advice would you give to, like, young entrepreneurs who want to start a business that both commercially viable and environmental friendly like yours?
I think doing the research before you launch is already really crucial. So make sure that you know, as I said earlier, you can go into it with this perspective and idea of what it's all going to look like, and then it turns out to be something else. But the better prepared you are, the more ready you are to pivot and shift and change as you get going, I think.
I would also simply say, at the same time, go for it and expect it to be a long haul, a marathon slog.
Overnight success is a complete myth. But with steady, concerted effort, you can get there. So,
yeah. So it's being a startup founder needs to come with, like, continuous itineraries and, you know, like, a lot of trial errors and being able to, like, stick to, you know, like, your work.
Yeah,
1,000%. Yeah, 100%. I mean, I'm pretty much, like, agree on that part. And like a lot of people probably, when they, you know, like found any kind of like mistakes or like things that not really good for their business during the journey, they might like not continue, like decided to not continue. That's a shame, I would say. So being a startup founder needs to come with the persistence, right? Thank you so much for being here and sharing your very much insightful thoughts. We hope our audience enjoy it, because I definitely do. And I also hope that this could inspire more and more people, not only in Dunedin, but also in New Zealand in general, to be encouraged to start a business that's, you know, like not only good for the profitability, but also society and the environment, like Pedals Courier. So thanks again, Liam, for your time.
Thank you very much for having me. Really appreciate it.
That was absolutely outstanding, Adrian. Really lovely work. Can you tell us what was your biggest takeaway from the interview?
For me, I think one of the biggest takeaways would be the way that starting business in Dunedin, I would say there's like a lot of opportunities here that can be done if you, you know, if you wanted to do the changes and like actually do the work, giving this example of Pedals Courier, which they are doing really good job within this within this space. And one thing also that actually business could be profitable while also being sustainable. So that's one of the takeaway that I learned from him. That's really like for me, you know, like I would say reinforcing my career goals to be like, okay, this guy has given such a good example of being sustainable and profitable, so it is pretty much possible to do it.
Do you think it's easier or harder to set up a business in Dunedin compared to Jakarta? And I'm thinking about the scale of Dunedin is relatively small, which means that you can actually have an impact with a business like this, but also it's harder to like actually make money because there's not that many people to make money from, because, you know, but in Jakarta, if you can get 0.1% of the people to buy something, that's an awful lot of sales.
Yeah, that's very true. But one thing that I could say, like in Jakarta, yes, the market size is very huge. You can say that, okay, if I gain like this 1% of or like 2% of the market size, you could like pretty much gain like a lot of revenues. But you have to consider that the competition there is very, very massive. So it's very intense. The way that, you know, a lot of businesses are trying to do in Jakarta is they are giving a lot of promotions and everything, right? That's kind of, I would say, like, makes your business not really sustainable, because once you get rid of that promotion, because you won't have, you know, like you wouldn't be burning a lot of money continuously, right? You have to be like profitable. At some point, you will lose your customer if you make your customers like stick to your promotion instead of the, you know, like being loyal to your actual product or services.
I'm going to sneak in the second of your music choices. We've got another game, DigiDudes, with the Nyan Cat theme. We'll be right back.
questions to end the show, and almost negative time, so we're going to have to be real quick. What is the biggest success you've had in the last couple of years?
The recent one is getting a scholarship for my study, full scholarships, so I can continue my career goals. That's I think one of the thing that I would say is success.
All good. What is your superpower?
Probably seeing things from bigger picture.
Yep, sounds good to me. Do you consider yourself to be an activist?
Not really. I'd say I'm still still having business profit mindset, but yeah, trying to balance that out.
It's interesting you use the term trying to balance that out, the sustainability and the profit motive. Is it possible to balance it when the two things are fundamentally different? If the whole notion of sustainability is not buying stuff and the whole basis of business is selling more stuff?
No, I would say no, because it is very much possible knowing that you can try to find a solution or try to solve a problem within, you know, sustainability and environment, because we are facing like a lot of climate risk, and that could be business opportunity that, you know, if you can solve that problem, you can actually make money out of it.
There's a bigger discussion to have there, but we don't have time for it. What motivates you? What gets you out of bed in the morning?
I don't know, just do it. Don't have, yeah, no reason. Just do it, wake up.
And lastly, do you have any advice for our listeners?
Not prepared for this question. So probably, try to find a like reason for you to do things, right? It will get you to, you know, a place where if you have goals, that would be really good, and learn from failures. That's such an important thing. If you're able to have that kind of opportunities, learn from as many failures as you can, but learn from it.
Sounds good to me. Reason to do things. Well, we're a
Adrian, thank you very much for joining us today. It's been a joy having you in the classroom and in the podcast, and we wish you all the best for the road ahead.
Thank you, Mawira. Thank you, Sam.
Thank you. We are still celebrating Mawira's birthday, so today we're going out to Twister and their version of birthday.
I should have chosen the happy birthday song.
Okay. Birthday.
You've been listening to Blowing Bubbles, positive conversations with people in their bubbles, their safe spaces around the world. Brought to you by the Sustainable Lens team, which is brought to you by Otago Polytechnic and the University of Otago. We are broadcast on Otago Access Radio every Wednesday afternoon at 3 and streamed and podcast on oar.org.nz. We had a contribution today from Tahu McKenzie making her breakfast. We were joined today by Adrian DeWanto. With Moira Karatai in Whakatani, I'm Samuel Mann in Otapoti, Dunedin. That was Blowing Bubbles. We hope you enjoyed the show.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.